Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Pro Wrestling Show in association with TalkSport. Will Gavin, I'll have John Jackson alongside me momentarily, coming from Glasgow, where the NXT UK latest set of tapings is going down this weekend. Coming up on the show today, Amir Jordan and Kenny Williams are the hottest tag team in NXT UK right now, at least on the best streak in NXT UK. They'll be joining us, a nice long 20-minute chat. And we're going to bring you our conversation with Casey Catanzaro from WrestleMania this year. She was absolutely delightful. And she had a brilliant match with Rhea Ripley again at this last NXT UK taping out of access in Mania. Don't forget you can follow us on Twitter at Pro Wrestling Show. There are videos of our chats going up on there on a regular basis. And head to talktalk.com/WWE for all your latest WWE news and views. John Jackson, are you with me?
Yeah, John Jackson. To make it sound like I was abroad, but I'm actually just in Scotland.
I mean, that is abroad to me. As far as I'm concerned, Scotland is a distant land, which I don't understand, but I'm happy to try and understand. I apologise for this.
To be honest, Will, I was just going to tell you where I am. I'm not only beside the A814 into Glasgow, I'm also standing in the car park of the Clydesdale Distillery.
Oh, lovely. Are you heading into the Clydesdale distillery, or...?
I'm not. I'm walking towards the river. However, what I was thinking is, if we say Clydesdale Distillery at least three times, maybe next time we come to Glasgow, the Clydesdale Distillery will invite us round.
We can only keep our fingers firmly crossed. It's a bit of a weird week this one, because whilst we had the Superstar Shake-Up, which actually, honestly, was a... not too much of a shake-up, considering the amount of crossing between brands we've had recently. But we've got these two interviews for you, and with John in Glasgow off doing these interviews, me currently cooking in the kitchen on a beautiful sunny day outside, and AMAC completely AWOL, we're going to keep this one short and keep it nice and brief. And yeah, it's going to be just a nice little news in brief, couple of interviews for you, keep you ticking over, and we'll have lots more content coming for you in the coming weeks. With Super Strong Style 16 coming up, we'll be doing regular shows from there. We'll have Kyle O'Reilly on as well, who's over doing the shows. He's been lent to Progress by WWE. We're hoping to speak with a bunch of indie wrestlers there. We've got the New Japan stuff coming up in London, which we're hoping to get some preview stuff for, as they're trying to flog tickets for the Copper Box with a bunch of guys coming over. So loads of great stuff coming up over the coming weeks. But Johnny, how's your Glasgow experience been so far?
Well, first, I did a talk for students who want to get into radio, and we focused on the fact that radio is kind of like podcast now. And we were saying that you've got the means to do a podcast in your pocket and you can be anywhere. And I think this is a good example of it, that I'm now in the car park of the SECC while you're cooking, and we're still doing a podcast. So that's good. My experience of Glasgow so far is actually a lot nicer than I thought it would be. It might help that it's 22 degrees and the sun's out, and I've had a couple of beers, but yeah, it's nice.
My understanding of Glasgow is that everybody's had a couple of beers at minimum at all times anyway. So
the first thing I've noticed, well, I've already been told that you can't buy alcohol in a shop after 10 p.m. Because they want to shut down people buying booze late on. Fair enough.
But also, on their way home from the pub to keep drinking at home.
Correct. Can't get your bucky after 10. And the other thing you'll notice in Glasgow, if you've ever been, is the bins are massive. And I think that's either because people are so drunk they need bigger bins for a bigger target, Or they need to big enough for you to slot, you know, 3 litre bottles of Strongbow into.
I mean, you've only offended about 90% of Glasgow at this point, despite saying it's a lovely city.
well, a Scotsman told me that, so that's a direct quote from a Scotsman, so therefore wasn't my view.
Was it Kenny Williams?
It was not Kenny Williams, no. It was a rather nice bearded gentleman in a bar. He looked quite a lot like Wolfgang, as do about 30% of Scottish men that I've seen today, but it was not, I can confirm, the son of Wolfie's dad.
I was going to say, are you sure it wasn't Wolfie or a relative of Wolfie?
I mean, I'm not ruling out some kind of relative. I actually saw Wolfie this morning. I was at the Holiday Inn where we spoke to Kenny Williams and Amir Jordan. And it's very weird because... I can hear you chopping. It was very weird because Wolfie turned up. And that, you know, that's not weird. But because it's at the airport, this hotel, Wolfie turned up. Then Robbie Brookside turned up, and they're all coming in off like connecting flights from like London and different parts of the UK, and then I guess some direct from America. And then Shawn Michaels turns up, and he's just casually checking into the Holiday Inn next to me, and it's a weird old world, isn't it?
You know, the problem is that you have developed a nice thick professional skin to things like that at this point, whereas. I can name at least one other member of this podcast who, if Shawn Michaels were to be standing next to them at a Holiday Inn, in fact, I can name two because, honestly, Sam, as much as we had fun in New York, whenever there was a wrestler older than the age of about 45 anywhere near our vicinity, the rate at which Sam went from zero to Mark was unbelievable. like his favourite part of the whole week, we had like long involved conversations with decent names from the world of wrestling, you know, really good fun, catching up with people we've spoken to before, all that sort of thing. But it was the press conference with Triple H that really, really popped Sammy. So that's, you know, that just gives you a bit of an idea of where he was at. But yeah, it is odd. It had a similar sort of thing in commentary as well. And what I find quite interesting about it as well is that these megastars are here, and the guys from NXT UK, I mean, at the press box at Mania this year, the NXT UK guys, as well as a few NXT guys, like Matt Riddle was there, and Keith Lee, and a few others, watched WrestleMania from the press box. Rather now in the seats, that's kind of where they've been assigned. And I had a quick chat with Trent Seven, had a quick chat with Travis Banks, had a quick chat with Tony Storm, just people we've interviewed before, and said hello to them and asked how access was and stuff. But it's that when they're over here, you go to like the media hotel or the TV hotel, as they call it, and there is a queue of hundreds of people sometimes outside waiting to try and get a picture with Ric Flair or somebody. And, you know, Shawn Michaels gets to come and check into the Holiday Inn, and there's nobody making any fuss at all. I think it's quite lovely for them.
But it's weird. He's literally just walked out the airport. If you've ever been to Glasgow Airport, the Holiday Inn is perfectly situated opposite the airport entrance. And he just strolled across the road on the zebra crossing and just walked straight in. And he's like, Shawn Michaels. It's like, what? Oh, Shawn Michaels there, which is cool. Next to him, Tyler Bate wearing... How do you describe it? Well, you know those sunglasses that are very round, circular and black? If you've ever seen Salt Bay, I believe that bloke wears them. Weird one.
Quite small circles rather than big, large circles.
Yeah, exactly. Very small ones that only really just cover his eyes. Kind of, yeah. So he's wearing those and Mr. Seven was there as well. I didn't see Pete Dunne, but he will be here. And what else did I see? Saw Wolfie. Didn't see Wolfie's dad. Saw the boys from Gallus. Ilo and Killer Kelly were there causing absolute mischief as they always do, and yeah, it's just weird. In the interview that you hear with Kenny Williams and Amir Jordan, I said, is it like a bit of a school trip when you film these things? Because, you know, they're just, you know, they're all on tour, they're all, you know, turning up, getting into accommodation, doing what they need to do, go to the gym. I mean, they said no, which you'll hear in a minute. They said it's fully professional, but to me it seemed like yeah, you know, I know they're travelling everywhere, but it does seem like an absolute laugh to be involved in this.
Yeah, I think so. Look, should we do that first? Should we start off with that, and then we'll get into the Superstar Shake-Up, and we'll cover a few bits of indie news as well, and hear from Casey Canzar at the end. So let's see, should we hear now from your chats with Amir Jordan and Kenny Williams?
I'm here in Glasgow at the Holiday Inn, next to the airport, joined by Amir Jordan, Kenny Williams. Guys, did you ever think that when you started out wrestling, you would find yourselves at the Holiday Inn at Glasgow Airport chatting to a bloke you've never met before?
No, I didn't. I did not. I didn't.
You could possibly ask.
Now you answer it.
No, I didn't.
I mean, I'm not surprised. Kenny, like, you're about to wrestle for WWE in your hometown. Today must be a mixture of nerves, excitement, and many other emotions.
I hadn't really thought about it until you mentioned it, so I've been trying to put it to the back of my mind. But I mean, this is incredible. It's a testament to the hard work of the guys who were here before us, before this UK brand was really a thing. Like Scottish guy like Wolfgang, he's been trying to get this going for about 2 years before we were here. So I mean, it's a testament to all those guys who were here before us: Pete Dunne, Tyler Bates. But for me, like, to be part of this show tonight and tomorrow, it's going to be incredible.
Has your request for sort of family and friends tickets and mates, have you got loads of old mates from school going, oh, you know that, people who weren't particularly maybe into what you were doing when you started wrestling suddenly getting into your inbox?
The people who used to slag me off are now going, I'm paying money to come see you wrestle. my family and my friends are going to be there. I always tell them, you better come because this is the best it's going to get. And I've had that conversation through my career. I said it when I done the Barrowlands, I said it when I done the SECC, I said it when I done the Hydro. But I was like, tonight and tomorrow night are going to be up there with the best it's going to be. Cause
is this why I can't get any comps? Because half of Glasgow, half of what Airdrie towns coming to.
Can't see the show.
All the Highlands making their way to Glasgow tonight. Look, so you've both wrestled in Scotland. I'm assuming you've wrestled considerably more than Amir, Kenny. Scottish crowds are notoriously wild, passionate, crazy. I mean, how are they going to take to this NXT UK product? Because, you know, it's a little bit different to what ICW offer. How do you think the sort of local crowd are going to take to what is, in effect, more sort of PG wrestling?
I feel like the Glasgow fans are so passionate about wrestling. Like, Glasgow is one of the best wrestling cities in Britain. And I don't think it matters whether it's adult orientated or PG. I feel like they know the talent that's on the show and they know that they're going to get a good show. So I think tonight and tomorrow night, Amir Jordan is going to get the shock of his life when he goes out there, and the crowd are some of the loudest crowds he's ever going to wrestle in front of.
As someone who didn't grow up in Scotland, have you been warned? I guess he's warned you what it's going to be like, right? I say warned, yeah.
Like, to be honest, like coming up in wrestling, like, I always kept like my finger on the pulse of what was going on. So like I've always seen what's been going on in like, say for example, ICW, and looked at the crowds and like how they react to stuff. But when it comes to that, I think as much as like, and you, I don't know if you'll agree with me or not, but as much as like, they're very...
Don't agree.
let me finish, man. As much as the crowds are passionate and about wrestling in terms of the difference between a PG and an ICW type of show, but I'd like to think that they're wrestling enthusiasts as well. So like they want to see good wrestling as well. As
they're
much
also
as
very loyal. And yeah, the roster that we've got at NXT UK, there is a wealth of Scottish talent there from this area and around it. You've got myself, you've got Kaylee Ray, you've got the Gallus boys. The crowd recognise that and they don't care where they are, they just care that these guys are wrestling for the biggest wrestling company in the world. So I think they're going to be there for us. They're going to be there for the full roster as well, because they know they're going to get one of the best wrestling shows money can buy.
I think the good thing, that something I particularly like about NXT UK, is that they have followed the model of Florida in a way, but they've never really had a base until the Performance Centre was launched early this year. But the good thing is that so far during these NXT UK tapings, we've had Plymouth, so we've had literally far southwest of the UK. We've had Cambridge, we've had Liverpool, off the top of my head, I don't remember them now. And then now we're sort of, you know, we are going over the border to Scotland. And I think that a lot of non-wrestling events that happen, other sort of sporting events, other kind of things that are very London-centric within the UK. And I think a lot of people who live in different countries, especially Wales, Scotland, Northern Ireland, they always find that quite frustrating. So it's quite nice that NXT UK is literally around the UK.
It's a touring brand, and it's representing the whole of the UK. And because if you look at wrestling, the independent scene in Britain, this is why the WWE want to be here. It's because it's not just good in Glasgow, it's not just good in London, it's not just good in Cardiff, it's not good, it's good all over Britain.
Yeah.
And not just in Glasgow, but these fans are so loyal to the people that they've seen develop through the independent scene that that's why they have to go all over.
Yeah, like I think with each and every one of us, like the fans that a lot of the fans that come to our shows, they've seen us from when we started out. I'm sure there's going to be so many people here today that will have seen Kenny Williams have his first match, probably. Do you know what I mean?
Maybe.
Or like the first 10. But like that's like it is. We're a UK brand. We go out to a global audience. But at the same time, like, don't be surprised if you see NXT in Wales, Northern Ireland. NXT Dewsbury might be a bit of a long shot, but
we can hope.
We never know. What are you thinking? I don't know. I might send an email about that, Dewsbury Town Hall.
triple.h@nxt.com.
I've never been, so.
Nah, well, you can come for the first time. Do you know what I mean? Good little.
Can we do? We could maybe do that as a small documentary. You could, you know, you're now in his hometown. You go to Dewsbury.
No,
it'll be short.
It'll be short.
This is the high street. That was the high street.
Dewsbury's a nice town.
Apologies. I mentioned the Performance Centre there. Now, we got to see that when it launched. It is a little bit far from Glasgow. I'm not going to disclose exactly where it is. But, you know, it's a few hundred miles away from here. Have you boys been there much? Have you been able to use those amazing facilities that we saw?
Yeah, absolutely. We've been there for ever since its inception. The weeks that we spend at the Performance Centre are incredible. Specifically speaking for myself, I've gotten so much out of being there every, you know, for a whole week, learning from guys like Johnny Moss, Robbie Brookside, James Mason, Johnny Saint. You know what I mean? We're actually spoilt for a wealth of talent that is teaching us. And then we've got world-class coaches like Sean Hayes working on our strength and conditioning. We've got Shawn Michaels watching our matches with us and telling us, you know, what we need to improve on. So like, does it get any better than that anywhere in the world? Do you know what I mean?
Because I've not got anything else to say. This is all he's done all morning.
I get too excited, man. Like, it's just
full point that we should have split up.
I don't know. You know what it is? Like, I get carried away. I get too excited, and then I'll just cover it all. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So
to agree with what Amir's just said, I'll just repeat all the names you just mentioned.
I missed out. No, you did. I was ticking them off as you were saying.
But no, the Performance Centre is incredible. Like, this wasn't a thing when I started wrestling. It wasn't even a thing when Amir started wrestling.
Yeah.
But now it's something that is obtainable for all the talent in the UK that now can work towards something. Like, WWE always seems so far away, and now it's right on your doorstep. So if you put the work in, you put the effort in, there's no reason why you can't be sitting here as part of NXT UK.
And the thing is that as sort of current performers now, it also gives you, I don't want to talk about retirement now, because obviously you guys are, you know, you guys are young, but...
Hey, whoa.
You're older than me.
Started late. I try to keep it quiet. Do you know what I mean? Like, when Kenny found out how old I was, he was shocked.
I mean, do we disclose this or do we just keep it?
Let's just say I'm a little bit older than you. Do you know what I mean? It might not come off on TV, like, but like
different year at school, or are we talking different school? Like
I'm talking like September and July. Do you know what I mean? The cut off. Yeah.
Kenny's at primary school. You're at college, right? Yeah. We've seen NXT UK represented on a massive stage. I don't know what you would call TakeOver. It's not the grandest stage of them all, but like, well, two nights before the grandest stage of them all, with Pete Dunne and Walter, which, you know, was for most people one of the best matches there, and gave a really good showing of what the NXT UK brand is. Like, does that, seeing them on there on the WWE network getting all these plaudits, does that just inspire you guys even more?
Absolutely. See, we were there at NXT New York, and we just thought it was incredible to watch. Pete Dunne's been an incredible champion for the WWE as a whole, but for the inception of this brand, he's done so much to create the brand, to put it on the map, and every match he's had, you can watch it back. The guy's got a library, and for him to be on that show and for us to be there live was amazing.
There's nothing more like motivating or inspiring than watching guys from our brand go out at the Barclays Center in New York City in the biggest on the biggest weekend of the year and absolutely kill it. And they had that. That's the one thing with NXT UK. It's one thing that we're all trying to do is we're trying to make it different to anything else on the as part of the WWE family of brands. And like that was a snapshot into it on like a massive stage with so many eyes on it. And hopefully that'll make people watch our show and actually see that like we're actually doing something different to NXT Raw, SmackDown 205.
There was a flavour to the matches that preceded it, and I feel like the thing that the reason that match stood out so much is because it was totally different from what followed it and what was before it, and that's just a testament to the type of talent that Walter and Pete Dunne are, and now obviously Walter stepped up and he's toppled the incredible champion that Pete was. I mean, that's something that shocked the New York fans and shocked the UK fans. So I think that's it's going to be interesting to see what plays out.
I think, you know, for people that have seen Volta, we've seen him loads in progress down in London, and I know that he's pretty much done every promotion in every sort of major promotion in the UK now. He will be a different type of champion, obviously a different style of wrestler. And I think that the people that have seen Pete Dunne and they've kind of, you know, enjoyed what Pete Dunne does and they recognise him as the United Kingdom champion, or at least when he was, they'll now see, oh, you know, it's not just Pete Dunne carrying this whole thing. It's a complete, you know, roster of superstars that are great in their own rights. And obviously Volta, a completely different wrestler, but still an amazing character, just incredible at what he does. And I think that that will only strengthen the brand further, won't it?
Yeah. It's the next step in building the NXT UK brand within WWE, and I feel like Pete Dunne's ran with it and then Walter's only going to take it in this opposite direction, and I'm excited to see what happens because it can only benefit everybody else who's on the brand.
Walter scares me, so I think I don't want to be in that. I'll straight up, he scares me, man. Like, have you seen him chop Jack Stars? You see his chest? Yeah, nah, it's not happening. It's not happening. Like, I mean, but that's the difference there, like, with someone like a Walter. So, well, like,
you're not scared of Pete Dunne either?
Well, no, well, I mean, he might break your fingers and stuff, but, like, do you know what I mean? Like,
Pete Dunne's the same height as you. Well, I mean, and Walter's taller than
you. To be fair, that's, like, I was behind Pete, but Walter beating him as well. It took someone like Walter to beat Pete, so who's to say that Walter can't be champion for 650, 700 days like Pete was.
That wasn't even a number you just gave that man.
650 to 700 days. Do you know the exact?
I don't know the exact number.
Yeah, but it was definitely between
650. It was pre-700, then you just made up a number.
650 to 700.
You just said 650.
Let's recall it high 600s.
Quite high 600s.
High 600s.
You mentioned going to WrestleMania, and obviously on social media we see all the NXT UK superstars having a great time doing public appearances, chilling out in pools, it seems, if you follow Zach Gibson. Did it have that kind of vibe that people would be able to relate to, of like a school trip where you go away for the weekend? I mean, obviously a school trip in the UK would normally be an owl sanctuary, maybe a wetlands marsh or something like that, whereas, you know, going to WrestleMania in New York City, that's pretty cool. But was it similar to like a school trip?
We went to Flamingoland, my school trips, you know what I mean?
Is that in Hull?
Yeah. Do you ever go?
Flamingoland? No, I've never been to Flamingoland.
North Safari Park was one. What's that?
In Edinburgh, there's a butterfly farm. The butterflies just fly about you.
Basically, I think this is a step up from our school trip.
It's not. At the end of the day, we are doing these trips to represent our brand, and our brand is new, it's fresh, it's completely different to what the WWE's seen before. So, yeah, it looks like we weren't in Orlando prior to WrestleMania weekend. We were only there for New York. And when we were in New York, our one focus was to establish yourself in front of a completely new audience. Yeah, we had fun. Yeah, we got to experience the city, but our focus every time when we stepped in that ring at Access was to establish yourself in front of a brand new audience. It was an opportunity for us to make a name for ourselves.
The thing is with wrestling is that there's opportunity everywhere. Like, you know, every new city you go to, that if one person picks you up as like their favorite wrestler, or certainly in their top five, like, you know, they buy your merch, you can just, doing a booking is never a bad thing. You know what I mean? It's kind of like that sort of touring band mentality, but I personally think it has a much better community to it. What are your immediate plans then in NXT UK? You say that you've established yourself certainly on the TV product, and when you go abroad, I'm going to put it out there and suggest you probably want those tag team titles.
So, I mean, this initially, when we found out we were going to be a team, was a bit rough.
You could have put that whole roster at the start of, on the episode one of NXT UK, and we'd probably be the last two people on the list that you'd expect to have be together as a tag team.
Okay, I was going to say, if you had to look at the roster and go, pair two people up who shouldn't be together, it would be us two.
And why is that though?
I don't know, because he
we'd never met before this. Yeah, experience.
You got together by like a lot of blind date. I don't want to call it a blind date, but like
in a weird kind of way, like
blind date, yeah,
like
WWE. Speed tagging,
yeah, a happy relationship,
like speed dating,
arranged marriage of sorts.
And for whatever reason, it's just sort of clicked, and people started to get behind us, and it took us a couple of tries to work out how we tag team together, but we finally got a win, and then we got another win, and then we got another win, and then we got
WWE. I don't know if I mentioned that or not.
You need to shout these achievements. You're saying them in a very understated way. You're like, come on,
streak, man. Do you know what I mean? Like,
it's because I say stop.
So, like, I'm not being funny, right? The Undertaker, Kenny Williams, and Amir Jordan. We're a close second. I mean, do you know what I mean? Like, it's. We've won four matches in a row, and like it's only fair now. Like
so different from what
it's touchy.
Completely off
the UK history. You know what I mean? Like so it's.
So you're comparing. Sorry, hang on. Let me just go. Let's rewind to this. You're comparing phenomenal streak of the Undertaker. However many years? Is it 19 years before he lost to Brock Lesnar? I can't remember. You're comparing four wins for use
on the way. Do you know what I mean? Who's to say that like the streak will never end? Do you know what I mean? Our format streak has not been broken.
I mean,
we're knocking on the door.
I'm too excited. I mean, if you were recording this interview, you would see my face is very similar to yourselves. It's disbelief.
Listen, the streak's a streak. Do you know what I mean? Like, we could go around in circles all day with this.
The main point. I'll bring it back. I'll reel him in. I have to do this all the time. I've got like a wee string on his toe to pull him down when it gets too high. Basically, our goal at the end of all this is to win the NXT UK Tag Team Championships. Mm. We have a win over the current champions, the Grizzled Young Veterans. You've seen that in New York. You've seen that in the episode on the WWE Network on Wednesday. That right now, I feel like we are the only team on the roster that has a claim to the tag team championships. So if that happens tonight or tomorrow night in Glasgow in my home city, then I couldn't possibly put in words what that would be like to do in front of my family and my friends and wrestle for an NXT UK tag team championship. It would be incredible.
It'll mean so much to Kenny that after a year of trying, he might actually finally give it a dance, give it a few likes.
I mean, winning gold in my home city would be incredible. Would it be enough for me to dance? I don't know.
Come on.
If you stop calling it a streak, then there's a possibility.
Maybe, all right.
It's embarrassing.
It's still a streak.
Like,
I'll stop. Sorry, streak.
Let's just round this up by saying let's hope this weekend that we see you dance, and let's maybe hope that he reins it in a little bit and doesn't let. Is all, everyone's got a mate that runs their mouth and gets the other one in trouble.
Said, let's
everybody's
hope.
Everybody's got a mate who you've been to Tenerife, they've been to 11 Arif. That's Amir Jordan. So like somebody's won two matches, Amir Jordan's won three. He just needs.
We won part.
There we go. Yeah, so
the Undertaker won 20 odd in a row. Yeah. You've won four.
Meet the Undertaker like anytime soon. He might not be too happy.
I hope I meet him. I would love to meet the Undertaker.
He might have some opinions about our street compared to his street. To be fair,
he might have opinions about you
as a human being.
Yeah, not about me.
A streak's a streak, you've said it. Look, guys, best of luck this weekend. And, you know, a beyond results and how it pans out, obviously make sure you enjoy being... It's obviously one of those things that a lot of people say in interviews goes by like in a flash, but you've got all your friends and family there. I mean, you know, you're not in Dewsbury, so there's stuff going on here. You'll enjoy it.
To be honest with you, like, in terms of where I came from and, like, how all of this worked out with the WWE, every single place where we go taping is, like, better than the last, because I never thought I'd be wrestling at the Brayhead Arena in Glasgow or in Plymouth or in New York where we were last week. So to be honest, every single place we go to wrestle and entertain the fans with the WWE is amazing, more amazing than the last. So yeah, NXT Dewsbury might never happen, but NXT Glasgow is going to be pretty sick this weekend.
We can hope. Finally, before we go, Amir, you're not the only British Muslim named Amir to be fighting this weekend. Amir Khan is fighting Terence Crawford in Madison Square Garden, which, pretty impressive arena. Imagine, you know, once that streak continues, you'll be there pretty soon. How do you think that's going to go down? How do you think it's going to go down, the fight?
I'm obviously, like, Amir Khan's been growing up as in terms of having a role model, like, for the British Muslim community or for even the British Asian community. Amir Khan is someone that's we've all looked up to, and like, we never 10-15 years ago when he was coming up, there wasn't that many role models, and like, looking at it now, like, there's so many that we've got in football, in cricket, in boxing. So like, obviously my support's with Amir Khan. Like, he's Northern lad from Bolton, like, definitely. He's been to Dewsbury, you know, he seen him at Shisha in Dewsbury a few years ago, legit.
Right.
Yeah, Amir Khan. Comes down to Dewsbury all the time. But yeah, like, he's one of the biggest names in sport when it comes to something like that. And we've got so many now. So like, yeah, I hope he wins. I'll be watching.
Do you think he'll celebrate by going to Dewsbury? No, I'm just kidding.
You know what? I'm not being funny, but last time he did, he came to Dewsbury after his fight. So he had a fight in Vegas or in America.
If we went tonight,
the next week,
we're all going to Dewsbury.
Mate, legit cafe, lounge, shisha bar, like, we'll go down. You don't have to, like, they do like coffees and like cakes and stuff as well. You know what I mean? Shisha. Yeah, we'll go, man. If we win the tag team titles, we're going shisha after to celebrate.
We need to get the match first before we win them. So,
all right, people of Dewsbury, if you see two men arguing outside shisha tonight, you'll know that they did win, but their the future of their tag reign will not go so well. Amir, Kenny, thank you very much. Yeah, and best of luck.
Cheers. Thank you very much.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Amy Jordan and Kenny Williams, enjoyed that, buddy. I particularly liked that at the start. You asked them how starstruck they were to be speaking with a man they'd never known, they'd never met before in a Holiday Inn at Glasgow Airport. And
I think you've got to keep it real, Will.
They got on board with it very quickly. There have been plenty of times where we've tried to be like that with people in our lives, and they have had no interest in having a giggle with us. So I think it's good that they were right up for it.
Oh, it was good. To be honest, just before we started recording that, I went into the room, and if you ever been in a room where there's talent, whatever they call talent, whatever, like, people refer to people as talent, whether it's wrestlers or anyone vaguely known or whatever, there's always PR people. And yeah, we're quite lucky, we know the PR people quite well. As I walked in, they were discussing the new WWE headquarters, which they're sort of moving, aren't they, from their building that they've been in Connecticut for ages, into this new amazing building. And Amir Jordan, I didn't really hear this, so I didn't want to ask him about it fully, but he basically used to work in that building that they're moving into.
I
don't know who he worked for, what happened there, but he was absolutely raving about the catering in said building. So, you know, if any WWE employees are listening, Amir gives it 2 thumbs up for the catering.
I am intrigued as to in what capacity he worked there, and slightly disappointed, John, that you did not get involved.
I felt like I walked in on a private conversation. It was not my place. But however,
a little bit on the awkward side.
Well, he did suggest that he'll obviously be going back because anyone who works for WWE gets to go there, which I think the others were like, we've all been there, but you know, he's got previous. Maybe he's still got his task. Might still work.
Should we talk about some of the news from around the world of wrestling? Starting off with, well, the first thing is, this Sunday, there is a special extra one-off pay-per-view happening, event-type thing, on the WWE Network that's literally appears to be... I think there's a couple of other matches on there as well. Finn Balor is defending the IC title against Elias. And it's essentially just an absolute vehicle for the Shields to have their final match. So not the final match that they actually had back at the event before Mania. I've forgotten which one it was now.
Fastlane,
that's the one. Or the thing they did when they were at Raw when we were there and they did a farewell and a send-off. Or when they did that again this past week on Raw. But they're doing an extra... Extra send off for Dean.
It's like a Black Sabbath thing, isn't it? Where you know, they have a final tour, and then they have a final tour, and then they have the this is the definitely the last final tour, and then they add another tour on it, and it just doesn't ever actually stop. Although, I mean, you know, its contract is up very soon, so it will stop. But yeah, they are milking it for everything, aren't they? I'm like, I mean, getting t-shirts out.
Yeah, 100%. What it says to me is that. Firstly, they understand the value of the Shield. I think that's fair to say. It's a little disappointing because I actually thought that, considering the talent they were up against, as I'm not a big fan of Corbin or the kind of Lashley Corbin McIntyre team, that actually that Fastlane match ended up being a really good match. So I'm not sure why we need to have it again with exactly the same opponents. No. But what it does say to me is that AEW aren't signing Dean Ambrose. There's no way that WWE, you saw it with the way that they've been with Jericho after he signed for them, there's no way that if Ambrose is leaving to sign for another major organisation that they would be giving him close to this level of send-off.
No, of course not. If you read all the old Mark papers online, it feels like they're giving him a good send-off because they are fully understand in the belief that he will come back at some point and they want to leave it on the best possible terms.
It reminds me of the big man, Al pointed this out. When Jericho left with his injury, you've gone so windy, buddy. Where have you suddenly walked to?
I can give you an update. I'm now opposite BBC Scotland, which is on the banks of the Clyde. However, it's also seems to be also a wind tunnel. I'm walking into the Crown Plaza car park, where I believe I can see a wooded area. And I'm going to hope there's no one up to no good in the woods. I'm just going to sit by a tree.
Perfect.
There we go. Oh, not better, isn't it?
Amazing. What a place to do a podcast. It's definitely died down now, so we can carry on.
When you hear this, there will be pictures of all the excellent locations I recorded this in.
I'm a huge fan of it. As it was pointed out by the main man, it was a little bit like when Jericho went after his injury and they did like a really big send-off for him, but there was, he wasn't going anywhere else. I think he did do a little bit in Japan on that run, but actually it was more that he was, he ended up returning back about what, 2 years later, went straight back into WWE, went straight back to working for them. And so they were happy to give him the big send-off versus what they are, what they've been like now, which is to send him off and... If, like with Jericho, is not give him a send-off, not give him a Hall of Fame, take him off the website and everything, because they're annoyed that he's gone to what they see as their major competitor.
Yeah, straight on the alumni page, wasn't it? Even before he really had time to comment on it himself after it was announced by AEW. Very strange. Very strange.
Vince turned up on SmackDown. The Superstar Shake-Up overall... I love the idea of AJ going over to Raw because I think there's a lot of potential matches he can have there that we've not seen before. And look, Vince teased that he was going to make SmackDown's biggest ever signing. And okay, it's up there. You've got to remember, you've had things like Triple H join SmackDown once for a Superstar Shake-Up and stuff. But honestly, I didn't see Roman Reigns coming to SmackDown happening. And it does actually make both his career and that show more exciting, because not unlike AJ Styles, even though Roman doesn't have that same tier of matches that AJ Styles has, he's a big star and we're going to get to see him have some new matchups instead of seeing him fight the same six guys over and over and over again.
Do we think that, is there going to be another Superstar Shake-Up before that SmackDown moves to Friday nights and the new TV network? Because, you know, that could have something to do with this. You know, they want to, the TV network are desperate to get a big name on it, and obviously Roman Reigns is the name they want to be the big name, so is that why they move him across now and hopefully bed him in on SmackDown?
I think that's an absolutely huge part of it. I think it's massive that the Fox deal is so much money and suddenly their biggest, most bankable star turns up on the brand that's going to be on Fox. I think that has a ridiculous amount to do with it. And actually, I'd say that, you know, it's interesting hearing from what they were saying when we spoke to Triple H at Mania about the Fox deal, that Fox are also committing to doing like a weekly analytics show where they will look back not just at SmackDown but at Raw and NXT as well, and it'll be a little bit like Inside UFC or something like that, where they look back and they review the week's action, and they are really committing to trying to make WWE look like a serious product. And when you consider that right now, as much as they try and gloss over it, Raw is down 25% year on year and went down a massive drop from the Raw after Mania to the Superstar Shake-Up. But the whole point of doing the Superstar Shake-Up a week later is to try and retain some of that Monday Night Raw after SmackDown, after Mania audience. So I think this is only a positive for them. My big thing is I don't want to see SmackDown go to 3 hours, which has been rumoured.
Oh, God. I know. I think it will, though. That's the problem.
Yeah, so do I.
If they're making it their big Friday night TV show and they want to get a family audience in, then, you know, they're going to want to... I don't know. They just don't need to. There's no need. Just, you know, cut down unnecessary segments that we see all the time. Other than, like, you know, backstage segments. Other than the Fashion Police doing their bits and bobs back in the day. I said back in the day, like 6 months ago. You know, I'm not a massive fan of half the backstage segments they do because they're just kind of pointless. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. But you know what? Something I did like on SmackDown, I like that Cesaro, I know that Sheamus is injured and they haven't really announced why he or Daniel Bryan are injured, but it was nice to see Cesaro not with Sheamus. I know a lot of people would love to see Cesaro have a singles run. To me, that is definitely something up there. Whether or not he does, I guess it depends on, you know, if Sheamus is out for a little while, maybe they will push him on that. But yeah, that was good. I like that.
I'm just carving up the meat for my mine and my wife's lunch salad that we're having on this good Friday afternoon. And one of my cats, who hasn't been seen for a few hours, has obviously smelt that there is meat being carved in the kitchen and decided to come and sniff around my feet. And yeah, you're not having any, mate. It's not happening. Sorry, buddy. I think I should name my cats after wrestlers. Would have at least made a good joke on this podcast. This is a surprise. It's amazing that we've you know, we've got live cooking instead of live food arriving this time, which has happened twice on the podcast before. So
it shows progress. It definitely shows progress.
Looking at the other bits from the Superstar Shake-Up, just to run through them quickly. Finn going to SmackDown, I'm a big fan of, because you can get potentially a Nakamura matchup. There's guys there who you'd like to see him go head-to-head with. Elias going to SmackDown, it means he could get more featured. And the women on SmackDown, the women's division on SmackDown, the way they introduced Bayley and had Bayley being a bit of a different character was good. Mm-hmm. Kairi Sane being paired with Asuka, with Paige as like their manager, so they've got somebody who can speak, is absolute money. There's lots and lots to like about what they did on SmackDown. I am slightly perturbed by, with the Sasha Banks situation still ongoing, that essentially WWE have decided, well, let's just pair Bayley with other black wrestlers. That's because it was Ember Moon on Tuesday. It was Naomi on Monday. Like, I'm not sure this is a good thing. I don't think this is working.
No, it's a little weird, isn't it? I mean, I think that they need to do something with Bayley. I mean, like, you know, how long have we been saying that there's a sort of bunch of names that are just not doing it? And, you know, they have to try something soon, because otherwise they'll just keep doing it. Like Bobby Roode, for example, there's thoughts that he's going to sort of turn heel and have some kind of push, hopefully. But yeah, Bayley is definitely one of them. And if Sasha Banks does decide to leave, then obviously that sort of match that they really should have had, that feud they should have had, ain't going to happen. So let's just do something different with Bayley straight away. And maybe that's what they're doing. Maybe it's all a big swerve and that Sasha Banks is absolutely fine. She's just got a bit of, like, annual leave. You know, it could be that. I think people love to speculate a bit too much when it comes to the time after WrestleMania, especially with, obviously, AEW debuting next month now. So, yeah, it's interesting. There's some moves that I like. As I say, Finn Balor is really good. I would love to see him and Nakamura, because obviously Nakamura is just desperately wasted on that show at the moment. And there's one more, and I've totally gone off the top of my head. Can't remember. I'll think about it in a minute. I'm too blinded by the exciting views across the Clyde.
Hello.
How are you doing, Ross?
I lost you for a moment. That's all. I'm back.
busy carving.
The other 2 points that I thought needed to be talked about from WWE TV this week were, it's sealed, it's fine, I'm just throwing my wife the dressing for the salad. The other two talking points I think we needed to mention from this week. Becky Lynch looks like she's going to be fighting at Money in the Bank for both titles separately. Lacey Evans is the Raw title challenger, it looks like. Looks like they're going to make her face somebody else on SmackDown. And how do you feel? Can Becky retain both belts immediately? Do you think she should drop one of them straight away and commit to one show? How do you think they should handle that?
I don't really know, to be honest. I think that, I mean, are they just going to keep two belts there for a while? I mean, it seems they either have to sort of do, it either has to be wrapped up soon and she just picks one of them. You know, fair enough, you can maybe kind of string that out across a month or so and sort of, you know, have her deliberating which brand she wants to be on, or have her be like, well, I'm bigger than the brand. So, you know, I think that's what they've done, isn't it? She's sort of saying, well, I can just appear on either because I'm the champion on both shows. Could we see Becky Lynch start to get quite cocky and have a sort of new dimension to her? I know she's quite cocky as it is, but like really super cocky, and have a new dimension to her character. That could be something that would be good.
Cocky two belts instead of Becky two belts.
That's the one, yeah. I'd rather they sort of did something quite defined with it straight away, or made a proper run of it and kept her being an a-hole until SummerSlam. I'd rather they didn't just sort of do it for a sort of medium amount of time where nothing really happens, and you're sort of wondering, well, what's happening with that? Because it's just been ignored for a while, that kind of thing.
Some clarity in the storytelling would always be appreciated.
I'd happily see her to keep both titles for a while, because, you know, unless Charlotte Flair wins again, who in that women's roster has any momentum really at the moment? You know, Oscar, obviously that didn't exactly go very well. A lot of them are involved in the tag situation, and then there's no one that's come up from NXT that can sort of, you know, really create a shock and win. So, you know, face it, maybe it's a sensible thing to keep both on Becky for a while and just have her be, just have her really develop that character and just be more and more, what was it, did you say, cocky two belts?
Cocky two belts. And the other thing we need to talk about, to be confused with the Jorvik Viking Centre that many of us visited as school children. The Viking Experience.
Yeah.
I mean, why have you moved the current NXT Tag Champions without their belts, changed their name? Like, I don't agree with this idea that you can't have the word war in a team's name on PG TV. I think that's rubbish. And everyone going, I totally understand the WWE's decision. Think about it. They're going to have to sell figures and stuff like that. I don't think the word war machine is really like a war raider. Sorry, I mean, that's, can't call them war machine. But I get it, but I think it's ridiculous. But honestly, I think the bigger problem is that how badly botched the whole transfer over was. And, you know, even the commentary team sounded disappointed with the name The Viking Experience. It was awful.
It's like they've gone, all right, they like the Viking thing. So what word can we put after them to describe it? The Viking guys? Nah, that doesn't work. The Viking men. Oh, no, can't say men these days. Experience. It's an experience. Okay, let's do that. It's baffling. And I think even when they came out, I think one of the commentators, and I don't want to attribute a name to it, said, oh, you may know them by other means, or something like something. It didn't even make sense what they said. Like, they were so, like, confused by it. And it's just, like, you know, also, Vikings. Were Vikings nice people? Did Vikings, you know, like, do bad? I'm pretty sure Vikings are pretty terrifying at times.
They're so, pretty nasty.
You know, you're saying you can't, well, you are one. I mean, it's just saying that you can't say war, then, you know, if kids are learning history, they might go, oh, the Vikings, well, they weren't very nice. You know, it's mental, it's ridiculous. It's just, you know, I'm just sort of glad that they are as good as they are, because hopefully that will mean that, you know, the name thing will just be a bit of a laugh and everyone will forget about it because they'll be good, you know?
Now, just to say, if you are going to watch any bit of WWE TV this week, I'd recommend watching NXT, because we had a really, really good North American Championship match between Buddy Murphy and Velveteen Dream. Just a banger. Old Johnny Wrestling turned up and got beaten up by the Undisputed Era, so they're carrying on that angle, but they set up the idea that Dominik Dijakovic could go for the North American title. Kushida was announced to debut. Yeah, perfect. Kushida's turning up in 2 weeks, and they had Kairi Sane send off, which I'm not a big fan of the DQ ending to send somebody off. But she got a really good response, and it was a decent match between her and Baszler. So, you know, it was worth watching, but maybe the finish could have been
a tad better.
Outside of WWE.
It's not like we've had another disappointing finish to a women's match recently.
Scathing. Scathing.
Yeah, big words.
Just to say, there are some New Japan Ring of Honor news. New Japan currently on their road to Dontaku tour post the G1 Supercard. But they are building up to the G1 Climax 29 event, which happens in July. But the G1 stuff will kick off actually in Dallas, Texas, with the Raw Quest show later this year, the G1 Climax beginning in the United States. It's clear that, like, New Japan are really aggressively pushing into these Western markets. And they've announced some big names. For the G1 Climax opening night, you're going to get Okada, Ibushi, Naito, Jay White, all present at that show. They're doing a tour with Ring of Honor around it, where you're going to be getting all sorts of big names from across Ring of Honor and New Japan turning up at that. The Guerrillas of Destiny are going to be defending their tag titles at War of the Worlds. They're going to have Jeff Cobb defending the Neverweight Open title. They're going to have not as many of the Japanese names, but there's still a pretty good, decent number of names on that tour. And they've announced a Sydney date on their return to Australia, although no announcement of who's going to be on that, just at the Festival Hall in Melbourne at the end of June. So, you know, it's, whilst I found the Ring of Honor side of things a little bit underwhelming, the New Japan side of things continues to expand. And I also think it's really exciting that they announced that Dragon Lee, who picked up the equivalent of their cruiserweight title while they were in New York from CMLL, is going to be sticking with New Japan at least through until the G1 stuff. So, all in all, they're doing good things. They've announced. Go on.
I was going to say, could we see John Moxley turn up at any of these dates, do you think?
I don't think John Moxley's turning up anywhere. I honestly think he's going to take a year out at least. Just think he's going to chill out, do nothing, and then maybe come back to WWE.
We've had an announcement for the for Progress Super Strong Style 16. Jimmy Havoc will have his last Progress match on the final day or on the Sunday, but on, maybe on day three or day two. I'm not sure which, but we'll be there for between us the whole weekend. I've got a wedding on day one, but I'll be going on the Sunday and Monday
of the Maybank holiday. Well.
Yeah, not my wedding.
Oh, okay.
Just a wedding.
That's fine. I mean, I just thought your own wedding would be the only reason you didn't go to Super Strong Style 16, because you love it so
very
much.
Good. Yeah, very good. Yeah. Very good. I should have picked up on that.
I was actually putting you over there. I'm really excited about this. Obviously, Jimmy Havoc, big friend of the show, kind of. We had beef burger with him once. And he's released a T-shirt, hasn't he, to market. So, you know, if you've ever wanted to buy a Jimmy Havoc T-shirt and you didn't want to buy a T-shirt with the word die across it in massive letters... I would strongly suggest you check out his social media pages. And, you know, if his last T-shirt is an independent contractor or whatever he is, so, you know, all the money goes into his pocket. So do him a favour, give him a nice little signing off bonus. Nice T-shirt as well.
Have you watched any of the Rogue to Wrestle stuff, the Mark Dallas ICW bits?
As I'm in Glasgow, and I knew I'd be in Glasgow, obviously that was something that crossed my mind, but no, I haven't, because unfortunately I was getting drunk with students.
So basically, I just recommend watch Rogue to Wrestler. I've only watched the first one. It was really good fun. ICW have announced a bunch of people coming to Shug's house party, including the likes of Tony Storm, a lot of their own guys, but bringing in some outside talent as well, some of the less regulars up in Scotland. I think we're going to try and be up there, as my wife has a weekend away the same weekend, so it gives me an excuse to go out of town. it's looking like it's going to be a really exciting lineup. That's what ICW are doing. I think that brings us pretty much to the end, mate. We've just got to get Casey Canzaro in.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say about ICW. Shug's House Party, now I've been to Glasgow, I've done a bit of the research, so now I know where the good bars are. If anyone can recommend others, it will only strengthen our reasoning to come here. But I think we're going to come anyway, so it's all good. Yeah, let's get on to Casey then.
You've become our inside man. That's what's happened.
I feel that because I'm on location, even though literally anyone who's been in Glasgow for more than 30 hours has much more gravitas with whatever they're saying about the city, I feel like I am a bit of an expert on Glasgow now. I was in the trendy West End earlier.
Ooh.
That's what the internet says it's called anyway, and none of the locals do. I looked like I was going to get punched when I asked if this was the trendy West End for one bloke in a bar.
Right, let's get to Casey Canzaro then. Should we sign off, John? You can go and, you know, enjoy the rest of your Glasgow experience, and we'll be back at the start of next week with you reporting from the NXT UK tapings with more interviews, more bits and pieces. So I'll let you go, John, and we'll get to Casey Canzaro. Right. Have fun in sunny Glasgow. Find more bars, right. Figure more stuff out, and report back.
All right, love you, bye.
Catch you later. John Jackson with us on The Pro Wrestling Show. Keep checking us out on Twitter, at Pro Wrestle Show. Head to the website, talksport.com/WWE, for the latest news and views. But here is our chat with Casey Canzaro from WrestleMania 35. The first thing we had to check, Talksport, back at Media Day at WrestleMania, was to make sure that myself and Casey could get in the camera shot, because Casey Catanzaro with us now, one of the more diminutive wrestlers, it's fair to say, in NXT at the moment.
What was that?
One of the more diminutive wrestlers in wrestling at the moment.
Thank you, that's very sweet. I'm just happy to be here. This is WrestleMania week. WrestleMania week, my first ever, so it's going to be an awesome ride.
How special is it being a Jersey girl going to get to see WrestleMania in Jersey?
It's awesome. I grew up in Jersey, so being here is definitely, like, I get that little feel of home. And, some of my family's getting to come out to some of the Access matches and to take over. So this is a really big week for me, and to be able to have some family there definitely makes it a lot better.
I mean, the people who come out here, they come out and they go to New York and they want to see the Empire State and they want to go to Central Park. What should they be going over to Jersey to check out?
Man, that's tough. You know, my favorite part of Jersey is, like, my family. Because growing up, I did gymnastics growing up. And so it's funny, even from Jersey, and people talk about New York as if I should, like, know everything in New York. And I'm like, I grew up in Jersey. Like, I didn't ever come to New York when I was younger because I was so busy. So I'm more so, like, a tourist than a tour guide. They're like, you're from here. I'm like, maybe we should Google what would be cool to do. We could do some cool things. I'm like, no help. But I am happy to be be here if that counts.
That's wonderful. That's perfect. I want to ask you a little bit about your kind of journey into NXT, coming from gymnastics and going straight into the performance center. We're seeing more and more people come out of the indies to go into NXT, but you coming from a non-wrestling background, how tough was that when you first came in?
Oh man, it's tough. For me, especially coming in with no wrestling experience, and some of the people in my recruiting class that got signed at the same time that came in were just huge names. Ricochet, Candice LeRae, War Raiders. They all came in at the same day that I did, and like together they have like 50 years of wrestling experience, and I was just like, "Oh man, oh, I've never even stepped in a ring before," and I felt like really just like nervous and out of place. But since being at the Performance Center, it's really allowed me to learn that that's not a disadvantage and that I can use that as an advantage. I know that I'm here for a reason, and I know that I can show people something different. And, you know, it just took me kind of digging deep and realizing that I have a lot to show, and to not let that, not let the worry or the doubt or what other people might think get in the way. And I'm used to that anyway, so I like to prove people wrong, so I'm just another day, you know?
You grew up a big wrestling fan, right, though?
Yes, my sister and I watched wrestling growing up, loved it. Like, we would go in our basement. I actually remember one day, so my sister's 2 years older than me, we would watch wrestling. It was like our kind of playroom in the basement. So my parents were always like, "Okay, yeah, you guys go downstairs and do it." We're like, "Okay," but they never watched with us. And then I was like 19, I want to say, and we were rewatching one of like Stone Cold's VHS best of tapes. And my mom
This sounds incredible, by the way. This is after this is all finished, yes, can we go and watch that tape? Is it still at your mom's? Can we go over to Jersey?
And it's here. She can bring it for us. And we had watched it, and I remember my mom just looking at me and my sister like, "This is what I let you watch when you were 9. What was I doing?" We were like, "It's great. What are you talking about? This is the best." Like, and so that's one of my favorite stories. It was really fun. But yes, huge fan growing up. When I got older, I kind of moved away, didn't really have a TV and lost track. So to be able to come back and jump into it, it feels just like a fresh start for me, which has been difficult. But, you know, I'm here just to learn and do the best I can.
Was there a moment, because I think what always astounds about the Performance Center is you turn up and it's guys like Shawn Michaels, like Triple H, but they're not just there. It's not just for face. It's not just to do the business side. They really want to work and develop you guys and girls. And was there a moment for you when you met someone or just had a real kind of jaw drop, couldn't talk? Like,
so one of my favorite stories is the first time I met Triple H. And at the Performance Center, like, he's like working out in the gym with us. And I met him and I said, "I'm Casey." And he said, "Hi, I'm Paul." And I was like, "No, you're not." Like, in my mind, I was like, "No, you're Triple H." Like, I played it off, like, "Oh yeah, nice to meet you." But in my head, I was like, "What? This is crazy." And it's funny because, you know, I was so excited to meet him. He was a big inspiration to me, one of my favorites. And I remember certain people being like, "Okay, like, don't be a fan. You shouldn't be, you know, whatever." And I remember thinking, like, but we should appreciate him and everything he's done. And I think he would love that, you know, he's inspired us and that we should be here. And so for me, I have those moments all the time where I see someone or I meet someone, or now I share a ring with someone, and it's humbling and it's exciting and it's inspiring. And so I have those every day, which is really, I'm just really lucky.
There's a couple of moments from the last year I want to ask you about, starting off with the Mae Young Classic. Your match with Rhea went viral, the kind of, when she set the base and you were going all around the place and everyone like loved that spot and went nuts for it. So what was that whole experience like, and working with Rhea, who has been over and been our champion out in the UK quite recently?
Rhea is an incredible athlete, and I love sharing the ring with her. She definitely pushes me to be my best, which is definitely is what you look for in an opponent. And the Mae Young Classic for me was my first time really being introduced to the NXT universe, WWE universe at all. And, you know, I hadn't been at the Performance Center that long, so I remember realizing how big of a deal it was and being really nervous. And so to be able to share the ring with people like Reyna Gonzalez and Rhea Ripley, and be able to have these awesome matches where they really brought out the best in both of us, was really, really awesome. And I remember having a moment during my match with Rhea afterwards and just feeling the energy and thinking to myself, I get why people do this. Because for me coming in, I didn't have matches on the independent scene. I didn't learn, you know, anywhere else. And that passion really came from just wanting to get there, not really having it yet. And I remember those moments in the Mae Young being like, this is why. This is why. And so I definitely hold on to that. And same with the Rumble. At any other big moments, you know, it gives you that feeling and you're like, yes, this is why we're here for all these people. And it's really cool to feel that.
And you know what I loved about the Rumble this year? Because that obviously was going to be the other moment I was going to ask you about is that, you know, the first Women's Rumble was phenomenal, but they relied a lot on getting the kind of pop of having, you know, Beth Phoenix coming back and having Molly Holly coming back and legends. Yeah. What I love this year is they did the whole thing with the roster from Raw, SmackDown, and NXT. I thought that was really special.
It was really cool, and obviously that allowed some of us from NXT to be in it, which is a big dream. And, you know, we found out just a few days before that we were going to be in it. And so
that video they put out of you all being told that you were going into the Rumble was amazing.
Which is funny because even I was, like, stunned because I am very, like, dramatic. Like, I cry all the time. I, like, yell all the, like, I'm just very, like, open and out there. And when they told me, mine is the most boring reaction. Like, everyone's screaming and crying, and I was just like, okay, so we'll be, yep. All right, and my coach, Serena, was like, I for sure was like, Casey's going to cry. And I'm like, I think I just didn't realize. So it was funny that it was such a big moment that it kind of stunned me. But just being a part of it, yeah. I remember being out in the ring and looking around at the women and being like, I have watched this moment happening from my TV, and now I'm in this moment. And it was this, like, weird out-of-body thing. Like, it was very cool.
With one of the longest run-ins ever as well, because having to come down that ramp and round the angle.
Like, I literally was like, don't fall. Well, first I walked out, and then I was like, okay, don't cry, just go. And then I was like, okay, hey guys, okay, don't trip. And I had to, like, slide into the ring, and I was like, one time my first Florida Live event that I had to, like, run in and slide in the ring and save someone, I went to slide in the ring. And, like, caught my hip on the, like, metal that's, like, under the ring. And I was like, I'm coming, boom, and stopped. And then I was like, oh, I had to get in. Oh, it was terrible. So that's what was going through my mind. And I was very happy that it went smoothly.
Well, it looked perfect. So that's the main thing.
Thank you.
And then finally, with this amazing women's triple threat headlining with the great four women who are in the four-way at NXT and the tag match and everything else, looking at the talent that's around at the moment, who would you have? What would be your dream match, say, at NXT TakeOver or Mania next year?
Ooh, that's tough. I would say, man, it's good that question is so tough because it means that there are so many amazing people. I would love to share the ring with any of them. Honestly, Rhea has got to be one of my favorite opponents. Like I said, she brings out the best in me because I know that I'm not going to survive if I don't. And I need to give everything that I have, and she always leaves it all out there. So if me and her could have a takeover match, I think that it would be awesome.
Casey, amazing. Enjoy Friday. Enjoy Sunday back in your hometown. Really lovely chatting to you.
Thank you so much.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.